We have the bill, the House version at least, of health care reform legislation. It is public. The clock is ticking down towards Sunday when we're going to get a vote. And you know, John Todzwilliq is also ticking down on that clock as he waits for the vote to come through.
A bill he's actually read.
The entire thing, word for word. He's actually going to be tweeting all of the vote whipping today, all through the weekend. You can follow Todzwilliq's tweet feed on our site, thetakeaway.org.
Meanwhile, we've got three Michiganders to talk about.
We do
it, right?
Have three Michiganders in the House to talk about this bill that's going to cost $940 billion. You're one of them. You lived in Michigan.
I was in the 5th District, Republican District, Gerald Ford's old district.
Right. I actually still own my home in Grosse Pointe Park, and we have Representative John Dingell with us, a Democrat from Michigan. He is the longest sitting congressman, the dean of the House, and obviously the longest record of advocating for health care reform. It's a family business for you. Congressman, welcome to The Takeaway.
Glad to be here. Good morning.
So this was a huge issue for your father up until his death. And I'm wondering, what did your dad say to you about health care?
Well, Dad was an old tubercular. He was sent west to die. But fortunately, his life was saved at Union Printers Home from almost assured death from tuberculosis. At that point, he became not only a great social activist, but he became keenly aware of the need for health care for our people. And this was one of the principal goals of his life. And he was one of the major authors of Social Security and over 100 amendments to that particular law.
You know, the health care bill that you're going to be voting on Sunday is quite different than your dad's vision of it. He obviously proposed a single-payer system. I'm wondering, how different is this bill from your dad's vision?
Well, it's very different than Dad's bill. It's very different than my bill. But it's a very good bill, and it's a long stride forward. We have kept the exchanges, which is important. It will cost $940 billion, but the deficit reduction of it in the first 10 years is going to be $138 billion. And it is going to save over $1.2 trillion in the second 10 years. And it is going to cover 32 million Americans who no longer have care. It's going to eliminate all manner of abuses by the insurance companies, including using pre-existing conditions to deny people coverage, cancellation of policies because of health failures, and all manner of other things. And it is going to provide a lot of immediate benefits, like closing the donut hole for Part D recipients, and it's going to do something else. It's going to see to it that Medicare is protected and that the life of Medicare is extended by 9 years.
Okay, well, you know, but in all this political wrangling and the back and forth, some things were lost that I know were near and dear to your heart. What things got dropped out of the bill that you think should have stayed in or maybe have a chance of coming back in future years?
Well, obviously, I want a single-payer system. But I also want to cover every American, so I'm willing to give that up for that and for the assured possibility of passing legislation that's going to cover 32 million Americans and that's going to stop the tremendous increase in health care costs. As you know, health care costs have doubled in the last 10 years. They will double in the next 10 years. It will cost American people, the average family is going to be paying $25,000 for health insurance in 2019. So there is urgent reason to pass this because businesses are going broke. There's $1,600 worth of health care in every automobile, and none of our foreign competitors pay that cost. So health insurance is one of the things that broke the American auto industry and that broke the American steel industry and put them both in bankruptcy.
Representative Dingell, I have to ask you about, because you have served so long and because your father came from a tradition in Congress, there's certainly been a change in tone in debate and the political conversation in Washington since you began in Congress. You saw some measure of this when Henry Waxman unseated you from your chairmanship of the Committee on Energy and Commerce. And there's been a huge backblow from the American public at some of the rancorous fighting going on in Washington. What do you think about this? Do you think that Congress is more dysfunctional than ever?
Well, it is not the Congress, it is the Senate. The House has 300 bills and more sitting over in the Senate, all of which are important and which need to be passed to benefit the American people, that are just sitting there because of Republican opposition to the legislation. The Republicans are using the same strategy they did in 1994. Stop all legislation, defeat the health care bill, and then take control of the Congress. And so that is the situation. Of course, we have people like the Tea Party folk who are passing around information as to how you disrupt meetings, how you treat and abuse and disrupt meetings by members of Congress with their people.
But Congressman, I'm wondering if in hindsight, with all the experience that you have, it would have been better for you to manage this bill in the House rather than Henry Waxman. You've got more experience than Waxman. Waxman wanted single payer, you want single payer, and you've got way more experience than Obama.
Well, thank you for those kind words. But remember, I am oriented towards a result. And my personal affairs are of little importance to the country, but getting major problems like health care solved is a matter of the utmost urgency, because failure to address this is going to destroy the country. In the year 2080, health care costs are going to equal the gross domestic product of the United States if we don't do something about it.
Okay, Republicans are saying, though, that without Republican support, that this bill is being pushed through, forced upon the American public, and that Democrats are going to pay for it in the next election. What do you have to say to that? Are Democrats going to end up paying the piper for, as the Republicans describe it, pushing this through?
My dad taught me that you do what is right and you go home and justify it to the people, and that they will take care of you. I think if you look at the polls, you will find that almost every individual component of this legislation is supported by people. There have been a tremendous number of lies and a lot of outrageous behavior about it. They told us how it was going to cause us to pull the plug on grandma, how there were death panels, both of which were outright lies.
Okay, well, we'll see. Good luck with the House vote on Sunday. Representative John Dingell, the Dean of the House, 27-term congressman representing Michigan's 15th district.